This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
You're listening to The Reading Group from BBC World Service. In this series, we bring together listeners, students of English, literature teachers, and other contributors from the world of books to share their enthusiasm for reading. We hope that following this series will encourage your own interest in reading books in English as a foreign language.
Hello. Today we pay a visit to an Indian bookshop and we continue our series of talks on ways to improve and practice your reading skills. Today we focus on the internet. But first I'm joined in the studio by a reading group member from Afghanistan. She has very wide reading tastes, and as a student of English, she's read, in translation, classic French texts such as Voltaire's Candide and some of the work of the well-known Austrian psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud. She's here now to talk about her reading habits.
Hello, I'm Zarguna Karger from Afghanistan. I am studying at the Berkeley College of London University. And I read a lot of things from internet and a lot of books in English because I'm studying in English.
And do you have any advice for people like you who are reading in English when it's not perhaps their first language?
Yeah, I have advice for the people who are not speaking originally in English like me. When I started reading English book, I started from very easy books or simplified English books. I read a lot of big books in simplified session, like I read The Animal Farm in English, which was simplified for second language people. So it was really interesting for me. Then slowly, I tried to read difficult books like philosophy and human philosophy, like Freud or Candide.
And I think you like reading love stories as well.
Yeah, of course, every young person, I think, like love stories. I've read love stories a lot, but short stories, not very long.
For your course, you have to read certain serious books, and there are books you read for pleasure. Where else do you find material to read?
I find material in my emails. Friends send me emails and they send me different emails about different subjects and I read them. And sometimes it takes a lot of time of my working day, then I have to stay late because when you go somewhere and you want to read, you can't leave it that way that you haven't read it. So I have to read all of them and it's my habit, like an habit. I read a lot of things from internet.
So, Zarguna, if you think about your reading habits, what you like to read, what would you say is the most important source of material for you? Would you say it's books or is it the internet?
I think the most important and the easiest source is internet. For example, when I'm at work, I sit in front of computer and it's easy to go to internet than getting a book and buying a book. A lot of the things I take from internet is things that I'm interested in. For example, about Valentine's Day, I read a lot of things about Valentine's Day. And I read about women, a lot of things about children. I find a lot of jokes for the work I do, and I choose a lot of materials from internet. The internet is the most easiest way and accessible way of reading good things.
Well, Zarguna, you're not alone in using the internet, and it's a subject that teacher and author Martin Parrott picks up in today's talk.
When we think about reading, most of us probably automatically think about books, or even specifically about fiction. Yet, most of the reading that most of us do during a normal day probably doesn't involve books of any kind. What do we read? We read notices, advertisements, letters, memos, emails, news stories, and websites. Now, if you have access to the internet, websites provide a very rich resource for reading. Of course, there are lots of excellent sites dedicated to teaching English, such as our own Learning English site. But I was thinking not of these, but of information sites where, good news for you learners who are still in the early stages, where you can find nice short blocks of text and, best of all, the opportunity to check if you've read accurately. Yes, many of these sites have a choice of languages. You can read through in English, and when you've done that, you can switch over to your own language to check out what you understood. I'm not going to give you lots of website addresses. You don't need them. But how do you find them? Well, it's easy. Search the name of your country or of towns in your country in any international search engine, and within seconds you'll have a host of sites to choose from and explore. In the last minute or two, for example, I've just discovered sites where I can read about the Chinese city of Wuhan in English or in Chinese, and another one where I can read about the beautiful Middle Eastern country of Yemen in a choice of English or Arabic. But beware, searching and reading, I find, can become addictive. Another thing you can do is compare news stories, and then obviously the place to go to is the BBC World Service site. There you can choose from more than 40 languages. The news items are not direct translations, and each page has a specific regional slant. But if you read the news in English and then turn to the page in your own language, at most times you'll find plenty of crossover. And again, you can check whether your reading in English was accurate. And if you're multilingual, if you know two or more languages apart from English, you can compare how a story is given importance depending on the region. A major topic in the Spanish section may receive little or no attention in the Russian, and the angle, the point of view and the underlying assumptions about what the listeners know may be different. Do I hear some of you screaming with horror at the idea of doing your reading on computer and not in a book? Then you can't be one of our younger listeners. The young people I know will do anything on computer, and most of them, I'm afraid, do not love books. Let's see what we have to learn from them and see what the computer and the internet can offer us to help us with our reading.
Martin Parrott, thank you. I wonder, where do you like to read? In a garden? At a bus stop? In bed? In a library? Or perhaps in a bookshop? Well, increasingly, it seems, bookshops are places where people spend time reading. Perhaps also meeting friends, drinking coffee, or attending a talk by a newly published author. Well, the BBC World Service Reading Group now goes to Bombay, also known as Mumbai, where Monica Charder visits a bookshop called Crossword.
I am right now in Crossword Bookstore, which is on the first floor at Mahalakshmi Chambers in Breach Candy near central Bombay. And it's a huge place. It's got loads of books, probably one of the largest collections in Bombay City. It is very well lit, and the room allows for a lot of natural light through these huge glass windows facing the road. And there's loads of people coming in all the time. Of course, today is not such a great day because it's raining outside, but one can still see the regulars coming in and looking for their favorite books. I am right now with Mr. Sriram, who is CEO, Chief Executive Officer of Crossword, and probably one of the founders. So now I'm asking him. So tell me, Mr. Sriram, how did Crossword come about?
It started with a dream 10 years ago. And I must tell you that at that point, bookstores were small and crowded, and a bibliophile might really enjoy spending time looking at books there. But the average person was intimidated by the pile of books. And we decided that we needed to have a bookstore that was friendly, that was a fun place to go to, but also a place of learning.
I think that is probably the first thing that hits you about Crossword when you enter, the fact that it's white in color and it's got books piled with an easy access. And generally, I think there's enough room for people to sit and just browse through. Was that intentional?
It was, yeah. For instance, if you look at any of the fixtures in the middle of the store, you will realize that none of them are more than 4 feet 3 inches tall. And that's for a reason. We realized that the Indian woman was a very important target audience for us. And we realized that she was on an average about 5 feet tall, and her eyes would be at about 4 feet 9 inches. So when a woman walks into the store, an average Indian woman, she is able to see from the beginning of the store to the far end of the store, and she feels comfortable. Yeah, she doesn't feel intimidated, and we're able to draw her right through the store.
I think Crossword also pioneered this entire thing about events, wherein you invited authors to come and talk about their books and interact with the audience in general.
We believe that a good bookstore forms a valuable part of the community. So we had not just events with, you know, best-selling authors, but we also promoted a lot of new authors. We promoted a lot of first-time authors. And we also looked at having discussions on varied subjects, right from, say, child sexual abuse, which was the first time such a subject was discussed in public in India, to India's nuclear program, or to conserving tigers, various subjects under the sun.
Okay, I've now moved on to people who come here to actually buy books. So I'm here with Toral Sangvi.
Yeah.
And tell me, Toral, how often do you come to Crossword?
I come, I guess, at least twice a week to Crossword.
That's pretty regular. What is it that you like about this place?
It's like home. It's very convenient. You can just browse around at your own time. And they have a good collection, so I like looking through that.
What kind of books do you like looking at?
I'm majorly into crime fiction.
See, the reason I like it a lot is because you can just sit in the corner and read all day. And that's something that before Crossword, there was very little place in Bombay where you could actually do.
So what kind of books do you ask for?
Usually fiction, international fiction, and science fiction, that kind of stuff.
Do you come to Crossword often?
I come here all the time.
Why Crossword?
Well, the collection of books is awesome. Also, it's really neat to sit in a place where there are other people reading as well and read with them, so the atmosphere is really conducive.
Oh, what kind of books do you ask for?
I mainly read fiction. I read a lot of magazines when I'm here. And I don't usually ask for books. I usually find what I need. I read a lot of Indian fiction.
We have a special section for Indian writing. And it is one of the most popular sections that we have.
That's surprising, actually. I mean, one would imagine that not many people go in for Indian writing, but for the John Grishams or the Robin Cooks.
Yes, and that was true. When we started out in 92, the bestseller list consisted entirely of Western books, you know, books by Western authors. But today, I'm happy to report that anywhere from 3 to 6 books in both fiction and the non-fiction lists consist of Indian books.
That report from India was by Monica Chadha.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme.